Jesus, can you crank it up a little bit more for me, please? Is that loud enough for you?
That's what they call hot.
That was hot, definitely, my friend.
Definitely coming in hot, as they say. What happened to Bishop? I'm sitting here waiting.
I believe a riot started, and he may have had to take to the streets. It looks like there's civil unrest behind him, possibly some sort of coup going on over there. I'm not exactly sure what's happening in the background.
Something strange. Welcome. We are the Credence and Bishop Show. Myself, Bishop is somewhere around here. And, of course, Mikey, the legend, Mayhem. Mayhem.
Did I ever tell you one time Bishop gave me a gift for Christmas one year?
Was it an STD?
He knows I'm a huge Raiders fan. He gave me a custom Raiders jersey with my number, number 69, on it. And then on the back, it said Mayhem. Oh, wait a minute. No, it didn't. Bishop misspelled Mayhem and put Mayhem.
I like Mayhem. Nothing wrong with that. He's been out, obviously, fishing today.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you and see you, and we're good. And by the way, we're here with you tonight. We're going to be interviewing a very interesting man, Todd Reed. I think this is going to be a pretty cool interview.
This is something I've always had interest in, too. I'm a huge horror movie fan. I'm all big on practical effects. So this should be a good time. And plus, man, he has got personality in spades, my friend.
Hello, Terry.
Spades.
Andrew, looking at his Instagram, all the different art that he has on there. It's really, really wild stuff, like what he does, like the 3D art. It's good. It's good stuff.
It's Todd Reed Rockstar. That is, what do you call that? I guess that's just a name on Instagram. Do they have a little?
Is that your handle?
That's your handle.
10-4.
Bunch of old MFers around here. We don't know.
Speaking of old MFers, the reason why I was gone is that Mama Bish is spending the weekend. She is downstairs. Laid up on my love seat. And she found out that I was doing a show here. My wife told her that I was up here, you know, probably like, why is Lewis leaving me downstairs by myself with this woman I don't know, kind of thing. Clutching her purse, worried that my wife was going to rob her.
That sounds about right.
About right. So I had to take my phone down there. Initially, I had the headphones because she, you know, I want her to listen to that, but we're just going straight on the phone, and she's just watching on the phone because she wanted to come up here. But I was like, there's nothing she can hear.
Yeah.
Really?
Can we, is it possible that we can talk to her, like, or is she here now?
No.
Is it possible?
She knocked the phone off somehow.
Of course. Well, I would love to talk to her later, if possible. Let me say just a couple of things. I want to thank all the new followers and the new subscribers who have been jumping on throughout the week. We appreciate that. We go live on YouTube at Credence. It's Credence and Bishop Show. Facebook.com/CB Radio Show. Twitter and Periscope is at CB Radio Show. And on Twitch at twitch.tv/CB Radio Show. That's where you can find us live. Of course, you know, if you want to take us on the go and you don't want to be streaming a live video, well, we got you covered with the podcast, which is available on almost all major podcast networks. So that is an audio only type thing. So you're not like live streaming a video and then end up having a throttled phone for 2 weeks like me every single effing month.
Yeah, but that's because your girlfriend.
Yep, completely, 100%. Two phones she has, and still, whenever we take a trip, whenever we're anywhere, it's always using data, watching TV.
What is her go-to show?
Oh, I have no idea, Bish. It's just ridiculous. Like, I always call it teenager, like teenager kid crap that she watches.
Nice.
All the time. I don't know is what it is.
MTV. Specifically. Does she like the MTV?
is that what everybody's watching these days? MTV?
Them kids love the MTV.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, to be honest with you. It's some drama crap. But Anyways, without further ado, the reason why we're on, the reason why we're here is to talk to Todd Reed, and it looks like he is ready. So let's jump over and say hello to Todd Reed. How are you, sir?
Hey, look at hey, this what's guy. Going on here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you guys hear me okay?
Very good.
Very good.
I didn't want to seem like the old guy. It's like, how do you get this? Can you guys hear me? Is this thing on? Hey, lady.
That's us every day, really.
Yeah, right. Every day. All right. Man, I just want to say it's a great pleasure to have someone on of your distinction. Your jewelry is world-renowned. Everybody knows that.
Bring it, baby, Rosa. Bang, bang.
When I was doing some work, I was like, who the hell is Todd Reed Jewelry? I have no idea what the fuck
this is.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I figure at some point in my career, I may have to kill him because I'm a big fan of Highlander movies, and there could be only one. Todd Reed. I'm just playing.
There you go.
He's a great guy. People always ask me, they're like, man, you make jewelry too? And I'm like, you know, I never want to turn down a job. So I'm like, I mean, I can make jewelry. They're like, I've seen it. It's nice. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And I was like, I make all that shit. All that stuff for old ladies and all that. Yeah. But yeah, he seems to be a real nice guy. And he's a super established artist and actually proud to share a name with him. Yeah.
Well, I was telling these guys, I was like, look, I was like, I want to get a guy on that does special effects, that kind of thing. I said, I've found a guy who is full of character for one thing. But on the other hand, too, he's got a really interesting story. You didn't start out doing this. You're like a late-in-life lesbian. You were late-in-life special effects guy. So what were you doing before this?
I am a late-in-life lesbian trapped inside this man's body.
Right.
That was a corny old man joke. Sorry. All right, let's move on. Well, you know, it's funny how life takes you in circles. When I was a kid, you know, come find out later in my life, you know, I have ADD and, I would learn stuff really fast and, so fast that it got to a certain grade where I was just like, God damn, hey, look, the answer is 14. How does nobody know this yet? You know, and I just got bored. I got really bored with school. And the only thing that really made me happy at that time was like hip hop was just starting out. I'm old. I'm be turning 50 in January. So I was like break dancing and rapping and, you know, DJing. And then I started graffitiing. And me and my cousin Mike used to go do burners, you know, way back when, you know, Beat Street came out. We was like, man, come on, bro. Get on my shoulders, man, you know. And be like, all right, get off my shoulders, man. Nah. But, so we started out doing that kind of stuff. And luckily for us, they started a program in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm from, at a vocational school called Fort Hays. And Fort Hays, man, the only way I can explain it is it's kind of like the school on the show Fame, you know, but for like, you know, for all kind of arts, like performing, definitely visual. And our program was sponsored by the government because our two instructors were like these professional sculptor and a professional painter. I mean, these guys are doing $20,000 pieces, you know what I mean? They didn't need the job. They both drove Porsches, you know. I think they just did it because they genuinely loved to teach kids and they really wanted to teach kids how to open up. I was fortunate enough getting this program. It was everything. It was a playground. I mean, if I wish I could go back to a point in my life, it would be to go back there and utilize it 150%, you know, instead of like the 85 that I used, you know.
Sure.
But you could sculpt. We had welding, photography, dark rooms, and we could stretch canvas as big as a wall. You know, we had a junkyard. We get metal stuff was donated and all this stuff was donated from all these companies. So we just had this like ungodly plethora of paints and inks, anything you wanted, right? So by the time I got to that, my junior year, you know, I was doing really bad in school. My attention was just off. Nobody was like, hey, I think this kid has ADD, right, like they do now. Right. You know what I mean?
They're like, this guy's an ass. Get him out of here.
Listen, I got to tell you, I'm on Adderall now. And
it's doing wonders for you, by the way.
Dude, I do low doses of it. And my workflow is insane. You know what I mean? Because I can actually concentrate and finish stuff. And I've never been able to do that before. And I think that's what was holding up my progress a lot. And I'll tell you, when I first took it, it was like, my doctor was like, how have you been feeling this week? I was like, dude, have you ever seen the movie with Bradley Cooper where he takes the pill and then everything fucking, yeah. I'm like, limitless, you ever seen? I was like, you know, where he's like, and does that whole thing, and, you know, atoms start popping and shit, and then he's like, I can see everything's all clear. And it was like, that's how it was. And man, I tell you what, it happened at the precise time that I got into special effects. So, make a long story short, I ended up playing in a band. We were touring and trying to make it in the music industry. I ended up in New Orleans performing on Bourbon Street for a period of years. Club Razoo. What's up, Razoo people? There's a bunch of them watching right now. Yeah. So I came back to Columbus, and I really wanted to do music again. I started my last band, World Famous Weed Eaters. It was a really cool band. We had a couple of dudes from like Rick James, Stone City Band, you know, playing horn section. Wow. It was a hip hop blues reggae kind of fusion thing, and it was cool. And I started contract offers for the first time, and this is at a time where I'm really big on marketing, and I realized, man, you know, the music industry is fucking getting killed, you know, because it's just like every entertainment industry where you have a monopoly. You got the big dogs in charge, and they're only going to let in their friends. And, you know, people don't realize that, you know, when you see somebody, they're getting an award for the best whatever, you're like, yeah, it's the best whatever that they're letting go mainstream. Yeah. But some of the best shit you see out there is shit that never gets into that circle. And, you know, and it crushes a lot of people's dreams. And, you know, it's like anything. So the music business was doing that. And I was like, dude, I can't do this shit. And the only thing I was doing was they were asking me to leave my band. And I had a camaraderie with these guys. You know, I wrote the songs and, you know, formed all these guys together. But what they brought to it fleshed it out. And it seemed like I would be cheating on my wife if I did that. And then all the other thing was, on top of the moral aspect of it, was they were offering 360 deals, you know, because they were just desperate. You know, they were getting killed by iTunes and YouTube, and nobody needed you no more, bro. Now I don't have to kiss your ass.
There you go.
I'm not going to give you my merchandising. I'm not going to give you my fucking tour money. Hell, that was the way musicians used to get paid. Right. You know, I mean, we already knew the label was going to take all money for record sales, you know, but man, God damn, you going to try to get my t-shirt money too? God, listen. Right. You know, I was like, what else do you want, man? You know what I'm saying? You have sex with me too? Anyhow, so, yeah, you know, I mean, pretty much that's what it would have been. It would have been rape, you know what I mean? But so I got out of it, and I also had my daughters. And, you know, I wasn't going to be one of these guys that, oh, yeah, my kids, you know, and I'm on the road 8 months. You know, the reason why I chose to have kids, you know, it wasn't an accident. You know, I chose to have my kids, and it would be selfish of me to have made that decision without them there. And then I just step up to the plate and be the super dad that I wish I always had. Right. You know, so that was like, there's no way I can go on road. There's no way I'm going to sign the 360. I started the food truck business turned into a couple little pop-up restaurants. It was kind of getting some momentum. I was being overworked and I just wasn't happy. And then finally, my oldest daughter was going to college. So we have this talk. She was like, Dad, excuse me. And she goes, Dad, what shall I choose to study? And I was like, listen, I gotta give her a good answer right here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's so a big one.
Like, let's hit a home run, baby. Yeah, no stumbling. So I spoke from heart and I was like, listen, there's one thing that you do not want to do. I goes, you don't want to wake up, hit the alarm clock and go, fuck.
Yeah.
I gotta go into this motherfucker. And you drive to work in a shitty mood, traffic, everything's pissy off. Your day just started. Then right. You get in there and get shit on by corporate America, fucking this Jersey housewife bitch talking shit to your, you know what I'm saying? Talking shit to you, you know, behind your back. And, right. And you get this job and it's fucking, you know, you feel like you're spinning your wheels.
You hate it.
Brain, yeah, you hate your existence.
Hate it.
You know,
we're
yeah, I hate it with a passion. Right. I go and then you get your paycheck. And you go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then you go to your second job that is the actual one that you can survive off of. Yeah. I go, don't live your life like that. I go, trust me, I did it. And I worked 3, 4, 5 jobs sometime, you know, side jobs and shit, had side hustles just to make sure they got to go to Disney on Ice, to make sure they got to go to Universal, you know, to make sure they got to go to Cedar Point and camping and the big music festivals and this and all the shit that they should have as a kid, just experience-wise, is provide for them, you know, having a nice, nice house and just, you know, never have nothing to worry for. You know, give them a nice, the best foundation is all I can promise them. You know,
right.
And to make sure that won't nobody ever fuck with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
you mentioned
yeah, that. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I'm old school 70s dad, dog, you know, but yeah. So I told her, I said, make sure it's something that when you wake up in the morning, you will love going to. You can't wait to get there. Oh, I can't wait to get there. There's that thing I wanted to finish this week. And man, everybody, all the haters going to be on Instagram, like, it's okay, knowing they like it, you know, or whatever.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I was like, you get it, make sure it pays you enough money to have a super comfortable life and to be able to put something back for the future, because the government ain't going to be there.
No.
When you get old. Okay. Yes. I go, they're probably not going to be there when I get old. So I'm just telling you, prepare for the future. I go, but it has to be something you love. And I'm sitting there, I drove off and I was like, good talk, Todd. Good talk.
You nailed it, dude.
And then I go, what the fuck, man? I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I doing with my life? You know, because of certain circumstances and the way that chaos theory works, you know, I never got to do what I wanted to do, what made me happy. So I was like, you know what? I go, my youngest is going to be graduating high school in a couple of years. I think it's time for me to plan the next phase of my life. You know, right. At this time, I get to reset it. I'm 50. If I live to be a fucking 100, it'll be awful, but it would be cool in the same sense. But if I live to be 100, I got 50 more years to fucking kill the game doing something that makes me happy, because I don't have to get sidetracked by providing for my kids, you know, and having to feed 3 people with one person's income type of shit. And so I thought about it long and hard, and I was like, man, what would you go back to school for? You know, and I was like, I was taking it real fucking serious, you know what I mean? Because I was like,
but you have to.
I'm done. Yeah, you know, you gotta take the bull by the horn.
Basically. Yeah.
Right. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to go, because opportunity cut. Nah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll set you up with that.
Hey, also.
Me and you right there.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah, thanks, man. Just keep throwing them at me all night.
Nah, I saw Mom
spaghetti on
Mikey's shirt, so that's why. Yes. Good job, Mikey.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. I was like, who, me? I'm all shamelessly plugging. Yeah, 614 script. Nah. But anyhow, so yeah, man. I was like, you know, I think if I went back, you know, my love as a kid was to do movies. You know, I used to take my mom's Super 8 camera and some, you know, clay, and I had all these Ray Harryhausen movies that I used to love to watch, and those ranking like Christmas specials, you know, the stop action shit.
Right.
And we, you know, me and my cousin Nick would try to do these little clay animated movies. We make space guns and props and shit, little paper mache. And at some point, man, that magic just, you know, disappeared. And it's all, I've always been a super fan of movies, you know. And the reason why was because, you know, like, I hate to say the golden age, use that term, but
right.
I grew up in the golden age of like experimental special effects cinema where it all started. You know, I grew up in the 70s. You know, first time I saw a damn Planet of the Apes movie, I freaked out. You know, I was like, damn, monkey was talking and shit and riding horses. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Got the action figures and shit. Yeah, you know. And then Star Wars, you know, I saw opening night. I seen every Star Wars on opening night since I was a kid. Completed the whole series. And then, you know, you just had all these cool horror movies and The Thing and fucking Blade Runner and all these just fucking, just movies are timeless legend. And,
Alien, you know, was the one that cool got me when I was a kid, yeah.
Alien, man.
I was like, what is this? I was like, how are they even doing this? Are these, you know, a guy just had something come out of his chest and these people look like they're actually, you know, afraid of it. Yeah.
I mean, dude, when people walked out of Star Wars, I remember like it was yesterday, motherfuckers was like, what the fuck did I just see? You know what I mean? Because you had never seen no shit like that. You know what I mean? And anyhow, so it was that kind of magic that prompted me to dig into what I'm doing now. And I was like, I think I will go into filmmaking and dealing with filmmakers. You know, on the side, just knowing people in the industry and doing movie scores and stuff like that from some of my music stuff. You know, I knew that, well, if you want to do a visual movie, you either got to be friends with somebody that could really pull this shit off,
right?
And kind of do it the way you want to see it, or you better know how to fucking do it yourself. You know what I mean?
Very true.
And I was like, yeah, I would rather, instead of trying to translate my idea, I would be the guy that just makes that shit. I'll make the story around it. Hell, I'll do the score. I'll act in it. I don't give a shit. I'll do it all. You know what I mean? I'll do a Robert Rodriguez on them. You know, but
gotta do it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I hear Robert. Yeah, but I just, you know, when I think about that, that moment, I was like, you know, I sold all the food truck shit, the restaurant equipment, I bought airbrushes and latex, and you know, I was like, man, let me go check this school out west. That's where all the big guys go. And mm-hmm. So I get online, and that was, you know, it was like this video, hey, come to stay at Winston School and sit with Magic, you know. Hey, you know how YouTube is. If you just sat there, I was just sitting there like, you know, drifting off and thinking about it. And then YouTube's like, if you like that video, check this one out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so the very next video was like some 14-year-old little girl doing this thing, like ripping her face open and shit. And I was like, hey, this bitch is 14, man. She's doing it. You know what I mean? And I was like, right. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right. This is what I need to do before I spend all this money fucking going to school and all this dumb shit. 2 years in L.A. I already lived in L.A. I know how much it costs. And right. I don't like living there. I'm just, you know, it's nothing against L.A. I love L.A. It's a cool place to visit. Mm-hmm. Just not my cup of tea, bro. And you know, definitely not for the price. And so I was just like, hey. I was like, maybe I'll just watch some YouTube videos, do this shit at home, see if I really like it. And if I do, maybe I'm in L.A., you know, but I'm not giving up on this dream, right? So I started doing it. I got to the point where people, I was just posting stuff on Facebook, and people was like, hey, man, we're doing a zombie movie this weekend, and we heard you do special effects. And I was like, yeah, I do that shit. What you need, you know?
I was like, you're doing a zombie movie this weekend. Like, it's only going to take a weekend to shoot this movie, so... You know, the budget is
listen,
way up here.
Hey, yeah, way up here. All right, like almost non-existent. Yeah, But let me tell you how much of a square I was. I remember, like, I watched a couple of little 14-year-old girls on YouTube, and I was like, yeah, I think I got this shit. Didn't do none, right? Didn't do any. Right. I was supposed to, I was like, yeah, well, I'm working all week. I got Thursday off. No, I got Friday off. So Friday, I'll do a test makeup, make sure I got it all down for Saturday. None of that shit happened, right?
That sounds like us. Yeah. We plan out detailed plans.
Hey, man.
Blows up in our face every time. Every time.
All right, so, like, so I go, this is a true story, man. And almost hope I get famous just so I can tell this fucking story. That's the only reason. Yeah, you know, because it would be funny to hear somebody like right. James Cameron say some shit like this. But I'm going to the set. Mind you, never did the shit. I think I got the fucking makeup equipment to pull it off. The guys are like, yeah, it's just a couple zombies. I was like, cool. I'm driving there. Somebody else is driving me. I'm sitting in the passenger seat and I'm watching YouTube videos on how to make zombies.
As you're going.
As I'm driving there. So I get out the car. They're like, he's here, everybody. He's here. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, so everybody chill out. Big dogs are here. We relax. You know, I had the fucking... I'm like, man, my hands are like this. I'm like about to piss myself, right? And something said, Ty, these broke motherfuckers are doing a no-budget film. You know what I'm saying? Mellow out. Yeah, whatever the fuck you do is better than what they had. You know what I mean? So...
You're going to fake it till you make it. I mean, basically, when you got in there, just go wing it.
I walked in there. There were 70 people in the room. And I was like, what the fuck is going on with all these 70 people? You know, I had like this little starter bucket, you know, special effects for beginners kit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was not prepared for that shit, man. And, I was like, excuse me. I was like, how many zombies are you guys thinking of doing? They was like, well, we actually have 45 people. I was like, wow, no, come on, man, time out. I was like, and this is how.
I said, I'll do three of them. I was three of them. That's all I'm doing, three.
No, it's even worse. I fucked myself even harder. I was like, I only do 25. So. Yeah, I should have said three and said, fuck you, you ain't paying me shit, you know. But no, I was like, no, hey, that's way too many. I only do 25. So all my special effects friends were like, why'd you tell them like three or four like you guys just did?
Yeah.
I was like, I thought I was cutting it in half. I just thought 40 was the norm. I didn't know shit, you know what I mean? I'm setting my shit up, and they're like, listen, the sun's going to be going down in a couple hours. I was like, well, how quick I got to do this shit? It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm like, 25 motherfuckers. Yeah, right. Almost impossible. The funny shit is, looking back on that story, that's like a fucking tall tale Paul Bunyan motherfucker, right? Like, but I did it. I did 25 fucking zombies. And it's funny, they just popped up on my Facebook memories. And I looked at it and I was like, you know, fuck yeah, I could do way better now. But you know what? That shit was dope. Never fucking doing shit. Man, I went in there with fucking rib cages off ready made. And I was what I did, I was like, look, I'll do five at a time. And so I knew, I was like, so you need, some of the zombies are way off in the background. I'm going to not put too much detail on those. So we'll do five of those, send them out. And then the more up close zombies, the more details, going to take me more time. I'll give you those last. You can shoot those scenes. They was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I was like, it does.
They're like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Because that's how we do it in Hollywood, baby.
This guy, what a professional. How much are you paying this guy? I mean, come on. This guy knows his shit.
They're like, almost $50. Yeah. We're giving him snacks and $50. Yeah. So no, naturally, the first five zombies go out, and I was like, fuck that. I look pretty fucking good, man. I'll pat myself on the back and shit. Next five went out, so on and so forth. By the time the last five went out, these were the guys with rib cage. I pulled face things off. Dude had a brain patch and shit. And then all the guys came up that were making the film. They was like, bro, great job. I was like, thanks, man. I was like, feeling like I achieved something and shit. And I was like, where's my $50? No, I'm just playing. But no, I was like, he was like, the guy was like, dude, he goes, every time you sent more out, they just got more intense and more intense. And I was like, you know, that's the way I like to do shit. And in retrospect, it was because some people might do a zombie makeup a week if you lived in Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. So you get in 25.
You're getting better.
Yeah. Half a year. You're right. Well, I did 25 weeks worth of fucking zombies. In like 2.5 hours, it was like the crash course from hell. But I came out of it, man, it smelled like a rose, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm ready to do this shit, you know. So then I got all pumped up and shit. I was like, well, you know what, I was cutting and pasting latex mask and shit together, adding shit, repainting it. I was doing the most best I could with fabricated shit, like anybody that starts out, you'll get shit from Halloween store to look kind of right. Cool, and then you fucking make it cooler. And then I was like, you know what? In order for me to make that leap, I'm going to have to learn what, you know, what this tool does, you know, and what this tool, you know, this sculptor tool right here does, you know, like what kind of mark, how do you use it to get detail and shit? So I started looking around at top Hollywood sculptors. And I ran by a guy out in LA that was doing, like, you know, private internships, 2 to 3 sculpting students at a time. And his credits were, you know, he'd done a lot of Tim Burton shit. He had done some Guillermo del Toro shit. And visually for me, these are like two of my favorite directors on a visual level. I'm a real visual person. I don't get all. I'm a nerd, a comic book nerd, science fiction nerd from by heart, no doubt. But I don't get nerdy when it comes to visually cool films. I'm like, yo, if you got both, then great.
Right.
If you fucking dazzle me with visuals and take me to another world and give me some sort of escape from this shit that I see on Facebook and on the news every day, if I could close my brain off and get some kind of joy out of life for an hour and a half, you did your fucking job. And I, you know, I'm not critical with filmmakers like that. I, you know, I understand the kind of work that goes into it. And if I'm sitting there watching a movie and I'm like, hey man, these motherfuckers are really in the jungle of Naboo. Hey, these fucking plants really glow, you know, and there's no question in your head that that shit's a reality for those 2 hours and you're submersed in it. Dude, that's what I got from movies when I was a kid, you know, and if I could do anything to keep that going and, you know, and to be able to study with somebody that works for a filmmaker that does that, kind of gives me that kind of feeling. This, it was just like fate. That's where I got to go. So I went out there, and my first sculpture I did, he was like, yeah, send me what you think you're going to sculpt. And I was like, man, I want to do something cool. But it's got to be so cool teaching me, like, multiple techniques, you know, with one head. You know, I got one shot to do this shit. So I chose, I brought a bunch of pictures of the Swamp Thing.
Ooh.
And I brought a bunch of pictures of the creature from Black Lagoon. And I said, I wanted to do a crossover, a mashup of those two characters. And he wrote me back. He was like, man, that sounds fucking awesome. He was like, I've never seen nothing like that. He goes, I can't wait till you get here, man. This is going to be fun. I can tell already, you know. Man, this guy, Pow Wow, Don Lanning is the name. The most recent thing I've seen him do, not most recent, I'm sure he does a lot of stuff, but he made the new Robbie Robot on the new Lost in Space on Netflix. Right.
That's a great series, too. If people haven't seen that yet, oh my goodness. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere online, there's a video of Don hand sculpting the lines in that robot. They're like, none of that shit's fabric, like, you know, what you call it, 3D printed. None of that shit's all done by hand. There's a video. I'm like, this guy's retarded, man. He is so sick with the game. Anyhow, went out there, blew it out the water, and I came back, and, you know, before I left L.A., I had a talk with Don, and I said, Don, I said, listen, man, I go, I'm really loving this shit. I go, man, I go, I haven't done any art with my hands for years. I go, this whole thing that we did here just, like, rekindled everything, you know, that I loved about movies and about art. And I go, dude, this is definitely a game changer for me. I go, so I got to ask you a question. He was like, anything. I was like, how long will it take me to get good? He looked at me. I was like, I go, not like good like you. You've been doing it for fucking 40 years. I was like,
good enough.
But you know, like Hollywood good, you know, like he goes, he was like, he goes, well, this is how much he scoffed. I was like, what if I did like one a week? Is that enough? He was like, he goes, Todd, listen. He goes, I'm probably the most work sculptor in LA. He was like, I might do one a month, man. He goes, one a month? He goes, yeah, you'll be sitting good. And I was like, one a month. Okay. And when I got off the plane, I started doing 5 to 9 to 12 a week. And I didn't stop for 2 weeks. I haven't stopped. Every year I have to add more studio space because I just don't have enough space to put shit into work. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's been good to me, man. You know, it's been good to me. And, you know, shortly after I came back, we had a really good art school here called Columbus College of Art and Design. A lot of my friends went there. I couldn't afford it. I would have loved to went, you know, but it's funny because after I sold my food trucks and I started sculpting, or I got ready to go out to LA to sculpt for the first time, and my friend said, hey, man, I knew you sold your food trucks, man, but we need a cook here at the college. I was like, all right, man. I was like, yeah, I'll just go in there and make a little spare change, you know. And so I went in there, and all these art students, we come up and talking. So I was like, you know what, man? These kids need some inspiration. They all beat down, working and shit all the time. You know, they work them kids hard over there. So I would put out, like, these really cool art books, like, in front of my little station. And they'd be like, hey, what's this stuff? I was like, listen, man. I go, these are my personal collection, my art books. I go, but if you see something you like, I go, take it with you to your table. You know, take a look through it, maybe give you a little inspiration if you stuck on something, you know. And so I became like the guy that was doing that. And then, like, you know, the kids started talking to me, and it was like, hey, we saw the thing on Facebook, and you did the girl with the tentacles, and, you know, and I like, yeah. So pretty soon somebody in the administration was like, hey, we heard you do special effects. I'm like, yeah, I do, man. I go, you know, it's kind of funny. I go, you got anybody teaching special effects here? And he was like, no, we don't. And, you know, we had somebody years ago. And I said, that's something you would be interested in. And I was like, totally. So yeah, they started me out, and I was doing high school kids and stuff, and on the weekends and shit. And I started working with college kids and adults. And, dude, it kind of snowballed from there.
And now look at you. I mean, score.
You know,
look how the way things work out. I mean, you almost basically did a thing like you do in the old tattoo game, where you become an apprentice of a tattoo artist. You learn everything, and so you learned everything. And now where you're at, from everything I can see, you're damn good at what you do. You're happy, and you're working on movies and things like that. What are you working on right now? What are the big projects? And can we see some of the stuff you've got in your lab there?
Yeah. Hey, give me 1 second. Sorry, okay. hang on. I'm having difficulties here.
We all have senior moments every once in a while.
Technical
difficulties. Guys, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. We can.
Can you hear me? I'm so yep. Sorry, bro.
Oh, wow. That sounds really good.
Shower me with love again.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Some more praise. Please, more praise.
All right, cool.
But yeah, your stuff looks great, and it's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. A lot of it. No, it's more than great.
Yeah, it's astounding. I saw the tanks you had made from like almost like children's toys. You made these amazing tanks. Yeah.
The Power Wheels.
Yeah, that's.
Oh yeah,
those are awesome.
Power Wheels.
Oh, I like the Mars Attack stuff I saw, and also the Monsters Inc. How you made. Mike from Monsters Inc. looked like a scary ass monster.
Hold on, man. I'm getting something bad. Something real choppy's happening. I heard some of that about the toys and the monster. I apologize, guys. Something.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Where
can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Eight number one.
Okay. I apologize, man. I don't know what's going on. I was thinking maybe I'll just move around, but I don't think that's working. All right, go ahead, guys. I apologize.
But yeah, we were just talking about how your stuff is amazing. Like the things with the Power Wheels, we were like, I've never seen anybody do anything like that. And
Thank you.
Bishop was saying he loves your, what was it you were saying? The Monsters
Inc. The Monsters Inc. Yeah, where you made Mike look like an actual terrifying monster. Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He's right here. There you go. Let's see. Mike Wazowski.
I mean, it's so much bigger than I thought it was too. And you can't tell scale of something when you're looking at it online.
Right.
But that thing is huge. The brain from Pinky and the Brain. Yeah. That one was crazy.
Yeah.
Here, and those are all things you just basically sculpt them from hand. You know, you don't have like any idea what you're doing until you just start doing it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, I could never do it.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, it's fun for me because I get a sense of completion from this that I didn't get from a lot of other stuff, you know, starting some and being able to finish it. Like, if you'd asked me 2 years ago when I started doing this stuff, if I thought I'd be, you know, sculpting a, you know, xenomorph, you know, or, you know, or a predator, you know what I mean? If I thought I would have been like, dude, ain't no way in hell, man. Those guys probably been doing this shit for 20 years, you know, and it used to scare me. I mean, but now it's almost like, I'm like, yeah, bring that shit on. You know what I mean? I got a call from a real good guy out in Oklahoma a couple weeks ago. He's got a client. He does a lot of welding, car fabrication. Like, you know, all those hot rod shows where they trick stuff out. He drove this guy down to Texas and bought a delivery truck that looks like the one of Jeepers Creepers, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they're modifying this thing out for this guy. And the guy wants to go scare the shit out of everybody on the highway, I guess, for Halloween, which is cool with me. just playing. But,
why not?
So they want a full Jeepers Creepers, you know, mask and hands and shit. He's got the costume, apparently. And, you know, so I get calls like that. And, you know, I'm like, yeah. Dude, I've never done a Jeeper. That's exactly what I said, Todd. Yeah. Never done one, but I would love to. Now I got a reason to. You know what I mean? I got a reason to squeeze this into the schedule because it's a monster, you know, passion for me to want to like, pay some tribute to the guys that made that shit originally, man. That movie is fucking scary as shit. Yeah. All three of them, I love it. And to be able to do my rendition. And I tell you, that's the other cool thing is everybody that comes to me and asks me to do commission work now, they know that I'm going to do it and not shit on the actual real original character, originality of it. But I'm going to do enough where, you know, I fucking did that one. You know what I mean?
Like, right, signature
piece. My own little, Right. Yeah. I'm going to put something on it. You're going to be like, that's a steam power one right there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we do shit like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know now, like, the way I'm going to explain to these guys how I come across them, too, is our friend Connor, Ryan from The Ascension, he's doing some work with you. You guys are doing, like, a movie, and they're going to be in, him and Victor are both going to be in the movie. And what all are you guys working on? Because I heard he was pretty pumped about everything that's happening. So, what are you guys doing for that movie? I mean, what's that all about?
Man, first of all, big ups. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening. It's your turn. Go.
I'll say go. We got that delay. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, Steve. So yeah, man. Dude, yeah. So we started a production company, me and my wife, because we needed something to umbrella all these projects that are going through my head. You know, I sat out, I did a movie treatment for a horror movie called Amber Alert 2 years ago. We slowly been shooting stuff here and there, just never went full steam on it because it's a zero budgeted film. You know what I mean? Meaning that I'm swallowing all the costs and doing it, you know, it's just a labor of love type of thing. Then we also have the 614 Scream Kings TV show that we're in production with, and that's 614 is the area code for Columbus, Ohio. And I found out there was a bunch of special effects artists here in Columbus, you know, that worked on like big shit, and they just can't get out Hollywood's, you know, politics and shit. And some of them, you know, I mean, super talented people, man. And you're like, dude, why ain't you? All right, I get it. You know, you know what I'm saying? And you know, almost just lost hope in the whole thing. And dude, I was like, man, I can't see these dudes. Man, these guys are fucking badasses. I'm trying to get in this shit. I'm like, dude, I got so much to learn. You know, like, dude, let's get together and do something. Fuck it. We don't need Hollywood. We can do that shit right here, man. We're all here. We don't have to do anything that caters to Hollywood. We could just do us. And if people follow us, then Hollywood's going to follow them. You know, I was like, so that's how you do that shit. In the meantime, at least you're being true to yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think when you're true to yourself, it shows through whatever media that you're into. So we all got together and I said, hey, listen, it's me and Scott Sliger, a friend of mine. He's got a company called Morbid Effects. He did a bunch of work on, you know, the Legends of the Gridiron commercials. It used to be Budweiser commercial where all the NFL guys turned into monsters and shit, you know. And he did a lot of work on all the puppets for MTV's Celebrity Deathmatch. You know what I mean? Oh, wow. And then one of my good friends, Ben Peter, he's with us. Ben was on Face Off. He's a beast mode, man. You know, big special effects nerd, just like us. You know, and we all get along. And then we have some good friends, man. There's Todd Kinsler, Brian Dembski. There's a couple of guys that are like satellite members of the family that, you know, we'll spotlight during the show. But basically what we do is we go to urban legend cities. We learn about the urban legend. We'll go to like the museum, the Bigfoot Museum, Mothman Museum, whatever. Mm-hmm. Talk to the locals and shit about the urban legend. Then later on that night, we go out and try to find the shit.
Yeah.
Get all scared and shit, go back to our hotel. You know what I mean? Get it all on camera. Yeah, all the crying and shitting on themselves, all that shit. But and then the next day we go back to Columbus and we go into our lab, and then it turns into a build show, and then you get to see us build a monster. And the first episode, we met these really cool people in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. They were just opening up a bar and grill that had a live music venue. And, you know, we had to stop production because of the COVID stuff. And now I was like, wow, man, when are we going to get this Mothman that we built a Mothman for these guys. Mm-hmm. So they can have a selfie station, you know, at their bar grill. They like the interviews and shit there. You know what I mean? Oh,
wow. Yeah.
We built them this big, giant. Dude, you ought to see it. It's so sweet, man. We did some good work on it. It's a big humped over, you know, like gargoyle style pose, like Mothman. And it's got LEDs all in it and shit. It's got big, like, kind of like dragonfly wings. They glow and shit. It's all plexiglass. It's just dope as shit. So what we're going to do is we contacted them and we said, listen, we know how bad with the COVID shit. You know, you're going to need something to bring some attention back to your business. You know what
good
I mean?
Good point.
Thanks. Man, the bar restaurant business is getting fucked right now. You know what I mean? I feel so bad for anybody that works in the industry. Because you're definitely a check to check, week to weeker, you know? And so I was like, maybe we could help you bring some attention back to your place. So we have to wait for travel things and all this stuff right now. But we're pretty much a week out from going, wrapping that episode up with those guys. We're going to install it in and have the big reveal, but we're going to try to bring in the newspaper and the local news and let them know that, you know, this is Ohio, you know, Midwest Americans pulling together to help each other out in a hard time, you know, and, you know, maybe that helps them, you know, having that selfie station, everybody will come and do the selfie and put it on their social media and that kind of shit. Now, fast forward. So with all that being said, done, the show had to do a lot of traveling, obviously. And at this point, you know what's going on now. You travel from certain states, you're restricted to a 2-week quarantine. And it makes it real fucking hard if you're trying to go state to state to, you know, to do a show on location. So we backed up off of it, and I actually had a comic book that I wrote a story to in about 2000 when I was living in New Orleans. And coincidentally, I know this is going to sound really, really far-fetched for you guys, so try to grasp it. I know it's no fantasy, but
we're holding on tight.
Basically, the plot of it is, the astronauts find that there's an unlimited fuel source on Mars. Mm-hmm. In order for us to get to Mars to mine that fuel source, we're going to need X amount of fuel and chemicals to get there that we can mine out of Earth, okay? Mm-hmm. However, the scientists tell the world leaders, at the rate our, you know, population's growing, like, we're going to use all that shit up before we get to the point where we can go get this shit and keep sustaining life,
right?
You know, for human beings in our solar system. So they come up with this this idea called the cleansing. And what the cleansing is they release a virus that thins out the population. I know it sounds crazy.
No one ever believed that.
All my friends are like, bro, it's your fucking comic book, man. It's coming to life. Like, what the fuck happens in the next episode, man? I gotta prepare for this shit. Should I buy more toilet paper? Basically, the rich elites, politicians, whatever, retreat into underground living facilities, which obviously they do have built, and it's a real politically driven question to hopefully make people in this country ask themselves, you know what I mean? Like, we know that those shelters, survival shelters, are there,
right?
Mm-hmm. And they can accommodate thousands of people, but who the fuck comes up with that list of the people that get to get in that motherfucker?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if we all fucking pay for this shit, who determines who's number one on that fucking list? You know what I'm saying?
Maybe a lottery scratch-off?
Yeah.
Yes, lottery scratchers.
Lottery scratchers.
Mm-hmm. Like the golden ticket of Willy Wonka.
Maybe a twerk-off, you know?
Throw out golden tickets and everything.
So basically, So basically, we're Connor and Victor, formerly known as Ascension from WWE. Great friends of mine. Love these guys. Where they come in is they are cyborg, genetically enhanced soldiers that the rich scientists and underground elitists, they modify the soldiers to be able to accommodate whatever the fuck's roaming around, you know, outside, you know, on up on the ground, you know, on the mainland. And I would say the movie is, if you like Mad Max,
right,
it happens in Australia. It's obviously set in Australia. Apocalyptic. Well, this is what's going on in America about the same fucking time type of shit. You know what I mean? So it's gonna very much have a Walking Dead, Mad Max kind of crossover vibe with a little bit of something else to it. Now, I'm really into diesel punk and cyberpunk shit, so I want to incorporate a lot of that shit in it. But Connor and Victor play a couple of rogue cyborg soldiers. They're genetically modified to, you know, they have certain kind of weaponry that's built into, you know, jacked into their body, controlled, you know, neurologically and stuff like that. There's a kind of little port, kind of metal port thing that sticks out of the back of your head. You know, you could juice them up and stuff like that, make them do some crazy shit. And it's going to be fun, man. So
this is a great plot.
Yeah, I love the plot.
Say it again.
I said, we love the plot. And the plot's great.
And of course, it's a revenge flick. The thing about it is these guys are pissed off at the people up under. They run into me, and my character is called Proudfoot. And I really want to do something for my Native American heritage. So I really wanted to do a one badass John Wick kick-ass motherfucking Native American special forces motherfucker, you know, that's representing, you know, right, the nations, baby. You know what I mean? So the funny thing about my character comes into it is that they find out that the Native American reservations, nobody's infected. And the reason why that is because over the years, the government has been dropping these viruses and, you know, genetically modifying these flu shots for everybody, and it's been breaking your immune system down to be susceptible to this biological weapon eventually, according to their plan. But with their blatant neglect for the, you know, Native Americans and what goes on in reservations, they never gave them the flu shots. They just like, they didn't take them into account. So, you know, now all the Native American tribes that live on the, you know, out west on the reservations, they're immune to the shit. You know what I mean? And wow. So kind of wanted to have that little political reference in there too. And so that, I mean, that's basically the gist of it, you know.
Right.
But the cool thing is we got some real colorful characters that's gonna be going along with these guys. I got a friend of mine, Aaron, he's in a wheelchair, and we came up with this idea to have a guy in a wheelchair in the zombie apocalypse. You know what I mean? And we was like, well, how would that happen? You know, me and him fleshed the character out. And I was like, well, how would somebody like that survive? They'd have to have some kind of survival skill.
Oh yeah.
So his survival skill is he's like the weaponsmith. He's like the whistler on Blade. You know what I mean? Making weapons. You know, So we took a fucking wheelchair and we built a frame around it. We fortified it, turned it into a fucking tank, just like the fucking Power Wheels. Kind of gave me the idea. So we fortified this wheelchair. It's got treads on the side. It's got diesel pipes and shit. It's got a big, obscenely obnoxious double rotating Gatling gun on the front with a fucking locomotive cow scoop. Dude, it's badass, man. And and we call him Tank Boy. We call him Tank Boy. In the movie, so yeah, Yeah, Tank Boy. Now, the newest addition is our boy Smalls. Smalls is a little person, and he's also a semi-pro wrestler. And he's a bad. He's going to be an excellent addition to the crew. He's got tats and stuff, you know. I would say Smalls is probably 4-foot-ish, you know what I mean? So I thought what would be cool for him is to make the smallest guy on set the biggest, scariest motherfucker on the screen. So his character is in a giant mech, like a Robotech mech, you know, robot with the guns, and he's in a cockpit and shit like that. But he's like in this big hawk buster and shit, you know what I mean? And I thought that the irony of that would be cool, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah,
he's a fucking superhero in this movie, you know. So we got him a little electric crotch rocket motorcycle, like a mini one. And I'm tricking it all out like Mad Max shit with guns and shit. We're gonna have scenes where he's like fucking coming down, like whacking off legs and zombies and shit. It's gonna be badass. It's gonna be fucking sweet, man.
What's the name of the movie gonna be?
The movie's right now it's titled Proudfoot.
Proudfoot.
That's the main character. Yeah, yeah. So we're gonna be doing a crowdfunding on it. For completion funds, probably. And that's depending. We're talking to some investors right now, and I'm pretty sure we got a really good link with Amazon Prime worked up. So I did a couple of documentaries for Amazon Prime with another guy, and I'm pretty sure that's where we'll be. I like Amazon Prime. They're cool. Yeah. And, you know, the access to for everybody's there.
You never know when the theater's going to ever open back up. You never know when that kind of when is that ever going to happen? So, I mean, this is the most direct route to get it to the consumer.
Right. Well, you know, and that goes back to our initial discussion about the music industry losing their grip on everything because they were so bullheaded that when the technology caught up with their ass and people could have studios in their house and it sounds just as good as something that was fucking recorded at Geffen Records. We don't need you no more, motherfucker. Fuck your 360 deal. You know what I mean? And the same shit's happening right now with the movie industry because now 4K cameras are everywhere. Mm-hmm. You got fucking real affordable drones. You don't need to get a fucking helicopter and hire a helicopter pilot, you know, run the risk of somebody, all the insurance and shit. Make sure the helicopter shadow ain't in the shot. None of that shit. You just put a fucking drone up. You can fly it around the building through the fucking window and up to the characters in room number 5 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's all 4K. And, you know, it's, you know, we got all that. We have all that equipment. We've got the digital editing. All the After Effects programs have caught up with Hollywood. And the biggest part of the reason why I could call it a no budget picture, no budget instead of low budget, is because the budget for visually cool ass movies is, you know, based around the production cost of shit that I do or that Scott, you know, the other 614. And between all of us, we got fucking 5 warehouses full of shit that ain't never been on film. Then I'm sure if we just slap everything in there, we got a fucking movie. You know what I mean? I mean,
you're completely right. I mean,
all of us arsenals.
That's the way it is now. And like when you were talking earlier, I was like, special effects is like the most expensive part of the movies. I mean, that's like other than the big name person that's in the film, if it's a big budget, everything else is spent on the effects and all the post effects and things like that and all the practical effects. So you guys really do have, you know, a hand up in that because you do have that whole your whole studio working on that.
Right.
Now, the big question is the one thing I brought you on here for. Do you have a part for me and Bishop in this movie? Me and Bishop are looking to be in movies. So, you know, can you put me and Bishop in this film? I could be Proudfoot's handicapped brother. Anything. I get a good tan.
I got something even better. Yeah, there. Listen, there's a opening for stunt cock.
Okay. Okay.
I have a sex scene in it, mm-hmm. and I'm mm-hmm. married. I can't do it, so I'm gonna need stunt cock.
There you go. So, well,
you know, you can just.
I think that would be good if you had a stunt cock, but it was two different penises. Which yes. you never said, and like, oh, Proudfoot has two penises.
He's a shapeshifter just below the waist.
Dude. Hey, man, listen, man, I thought y'all was cool with me, man. You can't be spoiling the ending. That's what leads him to the second episode.
Yeah.
That's what leads to the second episode. Proudfoot. The man with two cocks returns.
He's populating the earth.
It's a Christmas special. Yeah, that's right. We got to repopulate this motherfucker.
Call him Proudfoot Clan. Well, like, man, I can't believe we've talked for over an hour already. Already we have talked for an hour. Holy I cannot shit, believe
right
it.
On, man.
But I want you to
that's
be able
what
to
my wife says every night.
An hour. I can't believe you just sat here and talked to me for an hour. It didn't fuck me for any but 30 seconds and an hour worth of talking. I want you to tell us really quick about where everybody can find your work, where everybody can and find out about 614 and everything like that. Because, you know, we're only scratching the surface here with you. I think I have some ideas of some stuff we can do with you down the road. I have a very good idea, and I'm going to get up with you that. But tell us all those places we can find you. Where's everywhere you're at?
Okay. Well, listen, guys, when I'm not on the world famous Creedence and Bishop show, you can find us at Facebook. We're on Facebook, 614 Scream Kings. Make sure you have 614, then the Scream Kings. That'll put you on our website. We post anything that we're doing with the show, any kind of stuff that we're doing, face paint for, you know, we do like Christmas face paint for foster kids around Christmas, anything, demos, stuff, whatever we do, we put it on that page. So go to 614 Scream Kings, follow us. I'd love to have anybody, anytime somebody needs a tip or something, they inbox me. I always reach out. I always give back to anybody. So you could go to that. And then also on Steam Powered SFX Productions on Facebook. So that's the actual production company. That's my stuff. Yeah, and on that, you see a lot of the stuff that I build for Oddities and Curiosity Show, a lot of the mail order stuff, you know, commission work, what anything that I'm working on, pretty much. But yeah, you could get us on any one of those. And also on the 614 Scream Kings page, we'll have definitely heads up when everything's going to start premiering. Maybe a little teaser half shows. You know, kind of win everybody's tongue until we can get it going, because we still have to go to New Orleans for 614 Scream Kings. We were going to New Orleans to do the Rougarou, the werewolf shapeshifter. We're going to swing around to the Florida Everglades and do the Skunk Ape. Then we were actually headed to the New Mexico area to do El Chupacabra, and then we're also going to do Roswell and do an alien episode. Wrap it up in Washington with Bigfoot. You know, we've done a few other cities right now. You know, Salem. You know, witch trials and shit like that. So it has that reoccurring theme. And so once we get real close to having the first season done, we'll start releasing some of the things on our page, and giving back, you know, t-shirts and goodies and stuff for anybody that's been following us up until this point. But so I mean, definitely follow us on that. And you guys totally got a part in this movie. You don't have to do stunts.
Look, man, I'm telling you, me and Bishop, we've been friends a long time. Me and him used to make homemade horror movies as young children. And, you know, we have a passion. Hey, I feel like we could do it.
It was meant to be.
We are family, man.
Yeah, it's almost like we're family already. I feel like it.
I love chopping it up with people, man. Anybody that's down with the program, I'm like, hey, let's do it, you know? And I think that's what makes our productions what we haven't released yet. Anybody that's had a private viewing, they all say the same thing unanimously. It's like, dude, everything just seems so fun and natural, because whoever we work with, if we're not connected and we're not in the same mind space and having fun with this, you know, we're not working together, because that's when it comes off the best. And that's why I know Victor and Connor are going to bring it, because we're not, I told my boys, I was like, we're not giving them scripts. I go, they're used to freestyling. Yeah. I go, so let them stay in their fucking element, and the shit's good. Your performance is going to be strong. We'll just coach them through the scene, bada bing, bada bam. But they got some dope fucking scenes we got planned for those guys. Oh, and P.S., I was talking to Connor, and he goes, I was like, hey, man, I was like, you know, I heard Heath Slater, another wrestler. I was like, I heard Heath is, somebody told me his contract is up in July something or something. I was like, so.
He's free.
I'm gonna say if he wants to get down with it. Because me and Heath he's one of my boys too. You know, I met all these guys in New Orleans and shit. So Connor goes, hey, man. He was like, why don't we get Roman? I was like, Roman Reigns? I was like, listen, man.
Yeah. Now he's pulling the chain. Dog. Now he's an asshole.
Hey, look, I was like, dude, I was like, man. I was like, hey, listen. I go call every one of them motherfuckers Vince McMahon is neglecting right now. I go tell them to call me. I go, let's do this shit, you know? Because, you know, that was the thing with those guys. I told them, I said, listen, you got to think about the next phase of your life, too.
Yeah.
I go, how long are you going to let beat you down like this? You know, I go, hell, Heath had back surgery, and they had him getting body slammed a fucking month later. I was like, dude, eventually, you're not going to be able to do this shit no more. I go, don't let Rock and John Cena and all them take all the money, man. I was like, y'all could be doing this shit, too. I go, those guys weren't Academy actors. They didn't need to be. They needed to do what they do, is kick some fucking ass and look fucking cool doing it. I go, and then eventually, when people found out, oh, these motherfuckers got a following, they started trying them in deeper fucking roles. And then when you got that, you got fucking acting coaches and shit. I was like, dude, they started out just like you. I go, there's no fucking reason why you guys can't be doing the same thing. If this guy don't have you under contract, I go, then let's fucking do it. You know, you got a following. We got some shit going on. It's like the fucking Reese's Cup commercial. Man, your peanut butter got my chocolate.
That's right.
Your chocolate got my peanut butter.
That's right.
This shit is delicious, baby.
And you know, I'm going to tell you right now before we let you go, me and Bishop, we've got our death scenes down. I mean, me and Bishop, I can see me and him dead, maybe dismembered, you know, maybe even decapitated. I would love to have that, something like that happen. And, you know, we're going to keep it up with you. We're going to stay in tight, keep it tight, as they say.
It's weird that people actually request that. I got a lot of people say, hey, man, I want to be in the movie, not a big role. I just want to get killed, like real gruesomely.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is like a reoccurring theme.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, thank you so much, man.
We plan on,
Thank you so much, man. We're going to have to get something started. We'll have to get up there and come see you, get in a movie. By the way, what can I get commissioned for $5 for my room? I have horror theme in my bedroom. I need a commission for $5. What can I get for $5 from the great Todd Reed? What can I get?
I got you right here. Hang on. Let me look, man. Let me look. How about an old baby doll with a chest buster coming out of the head?
Sold for $5. Todd, thank you so much, brother. And we're going to keep up with you. And
Love you guys, man.
Love you, man. Look.
Call me.
Look at the love.
Hit me up anytime, man. Love you guys.
Thank you so much, Todd. Reed.
Awesome. The man. Right, the myth.
Yes. A round of applause for Todd. Thank you.
614 Scream King. Bro.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Todd.
614. Check them out.
He's a riot. Scream King. Was awesome.
I told you, man. I was like, this guy's got energy in spades. And there
he sure does. No, that was great. That was great. That was a very easy interview too. Not, you know,
that's the kind I like, the easy one. Yeah. Like that. Todd almost, you know, you just give him a little bit of rope and he takes off. Boom. He's good. He's off to the races. And I mean, Bishop, come on. Me and you in a movie. I know I didn't even put Creed in there because I know Creed's a big pussy about doing anything like that. So I wasn't going to bring him in. But me and you in a movie, a horror movie, a sci-fi movie.
I like that.
Road trip. We'll document it. Be for the channel.
Come on. I just like that we're going to be murdered in it.
That's the part I wanted.
That is funny. I think that's the best part of it, just to get killed.
Right. Yeah.
For sure. I love that.
I'm going to be doused in blood.
Well, that was fantastic.
We just leave out of the bunker and we're like, hey, we're out of here, and instantly boom. Murdered.
Boom. Murdered right away.
On screen for 2 seconds.
Well, again, thank you so much to Todd Reed come on tonight. Todd Reed Rockstar on Instagram, and then 614 Scare Kings on
Scream Kings.
Scream Kings on the Facebook. I got it right. Thank you. Dirt. Any last words, Mikey?
We'll see you maybe sometime soon.
Okay. Bishop?
Follow Todd and his group 614 Scream Kings on Facebook and your different social media platforms. And I was going to ask him about Thurman's restaurant in Columbus, Ohio, but did not get a chance. But if you ever go, get the giant sandwich, you will love it.
It's got Thurman's. It's called
Thurman's. Yes, Thurman's.
Thurman's.
I'll have to show you the burger that me and Lou got from there. It's insane.
Please tell Mama Bishop, send our love and hello to her.
I will.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I guess we might pop on this weekend. You never know. That's why you got to click that bell icon to make sure you know when we go live.
Pop-up shows.
That's right. You never know. All right. If we don't talk to you, have a great weekend. And again, thank you so much to Todd Reed. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
See ya.